This is Classical Queens. I recently came to the understanding that there are many prolific music schools and teaching programs that owe their creation to women. It has been long understood that women have been teachers, but I think that it is equally important to know that women not only taught, but they built programs, began conservatories. There are so many things that exist now that were created by those who saw a need and filled it. Teachers, community builders, all hold a special kind of superpower, a craft that requires a lot of work, especially the learning how to give as fully as you can while also setting boundaries for your mental and emotional well-being. Focused on offering brighter futures than the ones that they were offered, we need these people, people who create what doesn't exist, what is hard to reach, with little resources, and all for the community. It is teachers that ensure that there is possibility. So this week, I want to shout out the teachers, but more specifically, I want to shout out my friend Fletcher Rudd, who years ago started an organization, an orchestra, in Mansfield, Texas, because he saw a scarcity and need. Now, that organization has been named one of the most diverse orchestras in the United States. I cannot be more elated and more proud of him, his colleagues, and the work they do to offer music to their communities. It's just a reminder that those of us who know they hold the keys to opportunity, even if that key is time, to make duplicate copies. I think that's what good teachers always do. They always have things in duplicate. Term drop, HBCU. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, HBCUs are historically black colleges and universities. The first HBCUs were founded in Pennsylvania and Ohio before the American Civil War, with the purpose of providing black youth who were largely prevented due to racial discrimination from attending established colleges and universities. They would receive basic education and training to become teachers or tradesmen. Now, when we look at HBCUs, we see universities, colleges, conservatories, some of the best education in the world. But this is how it started. Let's meet this week's queen. I have come to notice a trend about the histories written about Lulu V. Childers. They show her in so many influential places, with countless friends who were change makers and creators, just like herself. Yet I find her through their stories more than I find her in the writings about her or for her as a standalone educator, creator, and influencer. So I will share what I can in the best way that I can to showcase her, not as a supporting act, but as the leader that she was. So I will share what I can in the best way that I can to showcase her not as a supporting act to the lead, but as the leader that she was. Lulu V. Childers was born in 1870 in Dry Ridge, Kentucky. She lived there with her family for a little while, and eventually the family moved from Kentucky, but I don't have information as to where that exactly was. She would end up attending Oberlin Conservatory for vocal training as a contralto, where she would graduate as a music instructor in 1896. Her vocal talents were such that while she was a student, she would perform in the Eckstein Norton Music Company, a music company developed by Harriet Gibbs Marshall, who we know as the woman who opened the Washington Conservatory of Music and Expression. After graduation, she would spend her days teaching at Knoxville College, and she would also continue to concertize. By the time she was appointed to the role of head of department at Howard University, the school had seen many changes as it began developing from a normal school, or a teaching school or a trade school, into a university. As Childers entered the department, she was faced with the dean of the school who was trying to abolish the music department in its entirety. He and the board placed Childers as director of the music program and instructor of singing in 1905. At the time, the music program at Howard struggled for a few reasons. The dean understood that the program was small and would remain so, despite having great supportive teachers working within the program. Segregation laws and racist attitudes in the states made it extremely difficult for Black people to get professional work in music. Many people, while going to school, would end up not finishing their degree programs for these reasons. Other reasons were related to financial backing and needing to work for themselves or their families. Some needed to change schooling programs so they would one day be able to make a living for themselves. These difficulties of Black life at the time made the work Childers did to help the program continue and eventually flourish quite amazing. It is no wonder that she became beloved to the school and the students. She and the other teachers at Howard single-handedly led this small music program, around 25 per class, with very few graduates, into conservatory status. While working at Howard, Childers is seen in the pages of a few other artists' stories. She performed with vocal companies, traveled as a performer continually, and she was always seen in spaces of support for her community and for the other leaders that were trying to create as she was. The most prolific of these artistic collaborations and most thought-provoking of stories is that of Marian Anderson. Lulu Childers was a very close friend, and her performance at Constitution Hall in 1939. This original performance was slated to be performed with the choir at Howard, led by Lulu Childers herself. Although we know that this performance never occurred, instead, Anderson sang at the steps of Lincoln Memorial, supported by the NAACP and high-powered people like Eleanor Roosevelt. Childers would retire as the dean of Howard's music school in 1940, but continued as acting director for 2 years after that. Upon her retirement in 1942, she was awarded with an honorary doctorate. They would eventually name a part of the College of Fine Arts after her, Childers Hall, which still has a portrait of her hanging. She would pass on in 1946, leaving behind a legacy of resilience, support, and a music conservatory. Her hard work continues to live on. Hey, y'all. Thanks for continuing to support this podcast. As always, please consider leaving a 5-star review. You can follow me at Classical Queens on Insta or our freshly created website, classicalqueens.com. Thanks for being here. See you, Classical Queens.